Coming up on Patriots This Week, an unbeaten record has some fans letting loose. As usual, the quarterback is eyeing more.
Fun to see us, play a little bit better. Love to get to 4-0.
A stout defense silenced Tampa's swashbucklers and left its captain oozing with a quiet confidence.
I think we can be as good as we want to be.
Very good is what the Atlanta Falcons expected to be, yet at 1-2. This is a must-win home game to keep their season from being sacked.
Good solid football team. We don't know that things are always loud and competitive down there.
Even the players are pumping out the primetime promos.
If you love football, then Sunday night at 8:30 in Atlanta would be the place to be.
So get your party shoes on. It's time for Patriots This Week.
Well, it's the game of football, and it's not how you start. It's how you finish. And after a rough first quarter, the New England Patriots outlast the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to what was probably their best win of the young season. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Patriots This Week. I'm Scott Zolak, and joining me each and every week, as usual, former tight end Jermaine Wiggins. What's up, Wiggy?
What up, Zol?
Give me a little bit.
There you go.
Former linebacker Matt Chatham, too far over there. No doubt. Give Wiggy some, though.
Okay.
Guys, first two games. There were 4 days between games 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And we sat in here last week after that Jet game. A lot of questions out there. 10 days between this next game against Tampa Bay. For a young football team, how important is it to have, a 10-day preparation period?
What it does is it's about building that cohesion that, especially offensively, you need between your quarterbacks, your wide receivers, all the guys that run those routes and catch the football. And I think what you saw is you saw some progression, And granted, it was baby steps, but they're headed in the right direction.
You guys both played with Tom Brady, and he said before this game, it's so important that the preparation, the work you put in it to get ready to play in these games. And, guys, you can't let one single minute go by.
He knew going into this year there's going to be a lot of groundwork with these guys. And it's the stuff that we don't see. It's the stuff in the meetings. It's the stuff where he's going to be in the receiver room maybe more than he's would be in other years. He's going to be working with them more after practice. I think you see that. I think the big takeaway, which is duh, practice matters. I mean, they got 10 days. They practiced, and that's all that really it's about.
All right, the running game. Let's talk a little bit about the running game, which I thought looked pretty darn good times. Brandon Bolden gets the start. You got Ridley. You also had LeGarrette Blount. Probably about 33, yeah, the percentage of plays. How'd you like how they handled the running back position?
Well, I think when you look at the way the running game is going, it almost is going to be like that running back by committee. And I would say we'd even go a step further.
It's sometimes when they say that, though, if you're doing that by committee, that means you have really nobody.
Yeah, well,
I disagree here, though.
I don't think, necessarily
think doing it right.
they have nobody, but I want to take a step further rather than call it a running back by committee. We're going to go with whichever running back is playing at the highest level or is performing the best that game, I think, is going to get the bulk of the carries.
There may be weeks where it's that way. There may be weeks where it's more Ryan Ridley like we're used to. I think the important thing to understand in this particular game was they led with Bolden because they included him in the pass game, not as a running back. They led with screen. They came back. That was really two of the bigger plays in the game when they hit Bolden in that way, and that was something that was missing from the first 2 weeks. I thought that was really important. I think it's pretty cool how they use each of the three backs in situational football where it matters. Blount got the most of his carries late when it was they had a big lead and they were milking, and it was just sort of that, been a linebacker having to deal with a 250-pound dude. That's the worst time of the game you want to get them. Ridley's still there, still had some nice carries, will be productive, but I think they're using their guys intelligently. I think that's the best part.
All right, Matt, the defense started a little slow in the first quarter. That game could have gotten away a little bit, but they settled in and they started to get after Josh Freeman and company. You look at all the pundits around here and you hear some of the criticisms of this defense. Not one person has really given them any credit. Do you take any offense to that?
The best thing you can ever do when you're in that locker room, and it's how I best remember the best years we had here, is you shut all that stuff out. To be honest, you don't listen to it. You don't read it. You try to avoid it. Generally speaking, people that haven't played football don't understand game planning anyway, so they really don't know that your goals aren't their goals for their columns. So I think that's kind of how you live in that sphere, not this one.
You guys both played with Ty Law. To take somebody and a guy like Aqib Talib, put him in a defensive huddle, there's Vincent Jackson. I'm locking him up all day long. What'd you make of the way they played Vincent Jackson man-to-man? Eventually knocked him out of the game, but they get no credit for that also.
Yeah.
But I guess that's all in Tampa, right?
Yeah, well, I think Talib played well, and I've said this since day one. Is he the best shutdown cornerback in the NFL? Probably not. But I think he's a cornerback that brings swagger, brings that attitude, and is willing to take on every challenge. I mean, Matt doesn't agree with this
swagger.
One.
Swagger. I love that.
I'll say confidence, okay? okay? It's like any position. If you have confidence at a certain position, regardless of what it is, you're able to excel, maybe pass some of the ability that you have. And I think his confidence has shown every time he stepped on the football field. And granted, he might get beat at times, but he's been making big plays.
I like Tlaib, and I don't want this to be sort of misconstrued. I like Tlaib, and I think he's done a really nice job here. But I think it's interesting to watch.
He's not Ty Law.
We don't need to have disclaimers about that, though. I think if you look at the game last week, he gave up 3 catches for 39 yards. Jackson, which we talked about last week, dropped 2 huge passes where he had Tlaib beat again. Now, if in the event that that would have been 5 catches for 90 yards and only a half a work, are we having this story? No. But what he did is he made a nice pick for halftime, made an excellent, smart football play situationally. But if at the end of this week we'd have been sitting here with a guy who gave up 10 catches and 180 yards, would we be talking about this, especially if his name was Arrington or McCourty? No, but the team as a whole is playing better.
Matt does bring up a good point. Is defensively the whole team's playing well, but especially in the back end. You know, you look at Gregory, you look at McCourty. There have been a lot of people that have gotten on Gregory and said he's not this and he's not that. I think just a year at playing a different position that he wasn't used to, you're starting to see him, you know, getting to a type of player that, okay, he is a pretty good player. McCourty's now, you see he's getting comfortable playing that free safety position. So I think when you look at this defense, especially that secondary, they're starting to play as a unit, and that's what we talked about before. If they can play as a unit, they have some good players.
They're out there together for an extended period of time. I think that's as much as anything. Continuity.
Yep. They don't seem vanilla, Matt, when you look at the front seven defensively, kicking Chandler Jones down in that A-gap, some of the twisters, some of the games. You're more in line with the calls that are made, but are you excited to see Brandon Spikes, you know, taking chances, stepping up in gaps?
That was what was cool last week. We got to see more.
They're moving around up front.
We got to see more regular defense. So, I mean, that's just a function of what plays were, what personnel groups were on the other side against you. But
yeah, but it's been 3-4, 4-3, just playing, you know, 62 stack monster.
This week, vanilla. Much more. But this week, much more. They were in more base than sub. And what's cool, and it's the way you learn your personnel. You get to have a guy in the huddle and see what he does best. Brandon, when he gets a pre-snap read and takes a run through, or they just often do things that the call will be Mike 2, Mike Cover 2, or Mike 1 Funnel, or something where rather than have him be the rat guy or funnel guy or short coverage guy, just send him. Basically add him into the front, and he's shown a really good strength for that. Sometimes he beats pulling guards. He makes the fullback have a total handful in the backfield. So it's just really understanding your personnel, and Mayo's done some of the same thing too. They've taken a more aggressive approach with those guys and then play to the other people's strengths.
Wiggy likes that term funnel. You guys use that in the East Olympics, right?
You get them in a lot of carnivals.
All right, guys, good stuff right there. When we come back to Patriots this week, we'll take a look around the league and some of maybe the misfortunes of some of the young quarterbacks. That's next when we continue.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. By Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new dumpster in a bag can take it on. And by Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is Brandon Bolden. After missing the first two games of the season because of an ankle injury, the 5'11", 220-pound running back took advantage of the first start of his career. Against the Bucs, the 23-year-old burst out with a 46-yard run, the team's longest in nearly 4 years. And the second-year player out of Mississippi caught 5 passes for another 49 yards. This week's Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. And the Patriots sit there in the AFC East at 3-0, and there's another team sitting there 3-0 that nobody really talks about, or are we starting to talk about, the Miami Dolphins. Two big road wins by the Dolphins. And I say big road wins because anytime, you guys know it, eight times you go on the road, and if you win those games, you're doing your job, and that's a tough thing to do. Dolphins beat Atlanta this past week, and we're going to get into some of the young quarterbacks that a guy we don't talk about, Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. Wiggy, how do you think this guy's played through three games so far?
I'm going to pump the brakes a little bit. I think Tannehill's playing well. Miami's playing well right now. They play New Orleans, so I want to see what they do against the Saints. But, you know, he's doing everything they're asking him to do. But I'm just going to pump the brakes because they still are the Miami Dolphins.
24-33, I think, for 236 and 2 scores against an Atlanta defense. What do you make of Tannehill? carrying his team a little bit.
He's playing smarter. He's not throwing as many picks, and they're basically doing a balanced offense. If you look at that group in week three relative to where they were in 2-1, they found a little more in Lamar Miller last week. There was a little more run game. I think that helps balance things out. They've shown that they can beat what's in front of them, which is kind of the topics we've been talking about with the Patriots. So I don't think you can discredit them for any reason.
All right, Tannehill's a former wide receiver, and he's a pretty darn good athlete. They move him around a little bit, but he's not a true read option quarterback. I think the flavor of the year this offseason was talking about the read option and the pistol offense. I'm not a big fan of Kaepernick, if you could already tell. Colin Kaepernick against the Colts and his team are 1-2. Andrew Luck goes in, puts on a clinic. Have defensive coordinators, Matt, we'll start with you. Defensive coordinators, have we gotten enough film on the read option or these read option quarterbacks to see where they're effective or where they're not? Because it looks like once they went the man-to-man, did the Colts against San Francisco, Kaepernick couldn't hit anything.
Yeah, well, I think they also were looking to just sort of not bring five or not bring six. It's almost in your
– make him a quarterback.
And that's why versus the read option plays, the best way to do it is slow play anyhow, which means go ahead and let the offense declare. Don't jump into a gap and make that decision for them earlier. I think the principle carries over to the coverage portion as well. Why declare early? Why give him the early read? Mm-hmm. Sit back, make him play quarterback, as Zoe says.
He was sacked three times and threw an INT. Wiggy. And there's criticism that his guys weren't separating.
I think we overrated this guy. You know, he came
in. Ron Jaworski said he may be the greatest player ever at any position.
But I think we overrated him as a quarterback because of the success that he had last year taking San Francisco to the Super Bowl. And I think, you know, Matt.
The defense was a big part of that, too.
But I think
Alex Smith was 7-1.
Yeah, you bring up a good point where now you make him play quarterback. And you start to see that with a lot of these read option quarterbacks, ones that are not comfortable playing the traditional quarterback position and where they have to now go out and go through their first progression, second progression, third progression, fit the ball into tight man-to-man coverage windows. And I think we're starting to see that with Kaepernick. And when you do have some issues where, well, these guys are not getting open, well, this is the NFL. You should be able to put that ball in a window. Like I say all the time, when I'm covered, I'm open. Just put it out there and I'll make the play. And I just think that you're seeing Kaepernick. He doesn't have that ability to make those tight throws.
All right, guys. One thing I do want to touch on is Brian Hoyer in his day. After he got released here and Ryan Mallett became the backup quarterback, Trent Richardson was traded from Cleveland to the Colts. Hoyer goes out and throws three touchdowns. Good story, Matt?
Yeah, great story. Had a nice time. You know, he waited his time out here. Ends up in Arizona. I know it wasn't a good situation for him there last year. Now he gets to go to Cleveland. I think beat Campbell out to be the number two. Whedon goes down. He comes in and has a nice game. He did have three picks in the game, so I think moving forward, they're going to want to sort of control that portion. But the three touchdowns and nice productivity is a good thing as well.
He's a good player. And you know, you look at Cleveland, they're basically on a yard sale there. They're selling everybody they can. So, you know, here's a kid who's got an opportunity. Now he's got to go do something with it.
All right, guys, good stuff right there. Time to talk about a big matchup coming this Sunday night, the Atlanta Falcons. We'll get into them next when Patriots This Week continues. All right, one of the big things I like about the Patriots defense from last week was taking Aqib Talib and locking him down on Vincent Jackson. That means their number one wide receiver. So let's go to the Atlanta Falcons. What do you got? Bunch set right here. Stop the tape right there for 1 second. So where's the Talib going to be? Right here. So if you're Matt Ryan, you really want to pick your battles there? No. You go to this matchup. You're all pro, more importantly, Hall of Fame tight end. Tony Gonzalez should be matched up on safeties, should be matched up on linebackers. When you have the type of perimeter people that the Atlanta Falcons have, you've got to take your DBs, your number one corners, your slot receivers, and go ahead, roll the tape here again. Take a look right here on the left side. Little push through. Ryan comes out the back gate, and what's he do? Keeps it alive. So if you're Dante Hightower, if you're Brandon Spikes, you've got to be aware, even when they're keeping him in the check, he can block, and he also can do this. And this is where he's money, in the red zone, up nice and high. I tell you what, if I had a tight end like that, 6'5", I wouldn't be doing these shows. I'd be out there still playing. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. And last year, the Atlanta Falcons end up with a 13-3 record at home. In that Georgia Dome, they were 7-1. Now, 1-2 to start this year, find themselves 2 games back in their own division. Wiggy, you played ball down in Georgia. Now, granted, it wasn't Atlanta, but you know that fan base down there, they like a winner. They'll get on that bandwagon. How desperate are the Falcons on Sunday night?
Well, I think they're really desperate. If you look at their schedule coming up after the Patriots, they got Arizona, they got Carolina, the Jets. So they have a nice schedule. So they can kind of get back on track here. So this is a big game for them, knowing that.
Okay, primetime game. Everybody's watching.
Yeah, primetime game. But I'm just talking about those guys in the locker room knowing that, okay, the Patriots are probably our toughest test. Then we have a nice four-game stretch where we got teams that are going to be a little bit inferior to us.
Matt, I've had this argument with people. When Flacco came out, it was him and Matt Ryan in that draft class. And I've always been a Flacco guy. Matt Ryan has played his tail off during the regular season. Hasn't been a big playoff performer. What do you make of Matt Ryan?
I like Matt. I think he's a great leader. I think they've really put some pieces around. The only problem with that offense right now is they're having some injury issues. Steven Jackson goes down. Roddy White's playing with a high ankle, but he's not getting targets for good reason. He doesn't look like the same kind of guy. And at the tight end position, they've got this kind of weird thing where Tony's out there, gets a ton of targets, but they rest him as well. The guy's 75 years old, yet he's still one of the greatest tight ends ever. So I think there's a lot of things going on around him. But, yeah, Matt is still a stalwart.
No Steven Jackson. You're going to miss him. I think they're lucky to do that. But you get Jacquizz Rodgers, who's a 5'6", smaller back type back, coming off playing a guy like Doug Martin, who is smaller. Does that help get ready for this type of back instead of a big, heavy-set runner?
Well, I always think it helps when you've played a back that is very similar to a one you've seen before. The question that we have is they can stop the run. I think the Patriots do a good job. It becomes one of those running backs where you get like a C.J. Spiller that can do a lot of things from out of the backfield. That's where they have a little bit of problems. They have some issues. So I think if you can kind of take that format and say, okay, we now need to focus on this guy as more of a receiving-type running back and concentrate on that, because they do a good job of shutting down that run.
What's unique about these guys, though, is because they use the Rodgers kid and Snelling, they do some 20 and 21 personnel where they put two running backs in the backfield and they pass from that group. So I think they do kind of what you're talking about, where they're going to threaten you a little bit.
Patriots do that too, and they showed that last week, so maybe they practice a little bit against it.
Occasionally, but I think what's unique here is they threaten the edge people with that sort of faint block and turn the little screen thing. They've done it from both sides with both of those guys, so it's a unique matchup. You have to locate the guy in the backfield and say, oh, antenna's up. There's something different going on here.
It's obviously the Sunday night game of the week. That place is going to be juiced. It's going to be amped. Won't be able to hear yourself think. You guys have been on these teams in this locker room when you go on the road when it's loud like that. Matt, what's Belichick telling his team? How's he getting them ready for this game?
Well, he mentioned it in this week's press conference, how different that place is. And it is. I mean, Wiggy knows the Metrodome. I mean, it's kind of similar to that. Where
a lot of Bon Jovi.
Your ears ring.
It's going to feel differently, and you have to sort of respond to a new environment. But I think at the end of the day, if you can get everyone sort of on the same page, the field's still the field, same dimensions, all that kind of stuff. It's the kind of week, though, where you're going to test a young group. And I think that's probably the biggest thing. If you're Kembrell Tompkins or Dobson and you're just learning the NFL, this is so much different than Buffalo. I mean, this is just an entirely different environment. Hopefully they respond well, and then same as always.
All right, guys, good stuff coming up next. Our predictions and our game changer, the player that we picked that will change this game with Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
I'm Brian Lowe with this week's Fantasy Lowdown. A big day is ahead for Redskins receiver Pierre Garçon at Oakland. You may not have realized it, but he's top five in the NFL in catches and receiving yardage and has become RG3's top target. Who to sit? Matthew Stafford, the Lions QB, who averages more than a pick a game against Chicago in his career, and Chicago leads the NFL in takeaways this season. As for a sleeper, it's Ahmad Bradshaw of the Colts. Even if Trent Richardson is the new number one, Bradshaw will produce two against the Jaguars.
The Fantasy Lowdown is brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week. Time now for our predictions and our game changers. Start with Matt. Give me a score. Give me the game changer.
My score is going to be 30-20 Patriots. I think they're going to start to score the points that we're used to seeing. And the game changers is going to be the tackle position, not necessarily a player. Bigger tackles here for the Patriots against smaller defensive ends in Osi and Massaquai. Let's see them get after him with that big body mismatch.
All right, Wiggy.
Well, it's simple for me. I like the Patriots in this one, 27-24. The guy that I'm watching is that wide receiver who wears number 85, Kembrell Tompkins. The lights are on. Let's see if he can do it.
All right, my score is going to be 31-20 in favor of guess who? Yeah, Patriots. That's right. A game changer, Tom Brady. Matty Ice, not so ice that night. Brady's going to outplay Matt Ryan. 31-20, the Patriots win. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Patriots This Week. For Matt Chatham, for Jermaine Wiggins, I'm Scott Zolak. Thanks for watching. See you next time on Patriots This Week.